from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Coach Dave Wanstead is here in studio right now, along with three of his grandkids. His daughter and Jan are here hanging out. I feel like I'm at the family gathering, Coach. This is pretty good.
It is. It doesn't get any better than this. I'll tell you, unless I had all six grandkids here, that's the only way it would be better.
Are those my pants?
Yeah, these are your pants. I found a Werther's original in the pocket.
This is
for good kids.
Oh yeah, these are twins right here. This is Eddie and David Napleton and their brother Francis.
Francis and Eddie and David.
And they are baseball players, football players, basketball players,
golfers. Nico Horner fans.
He Francis told you. He was your best player right there.
Yeah.
It's a hot topic today.
Right, Francis? What do you like about him?
Nico's his favorite guy. We're not going to be able to hear
him. Who's your favorite pitcher? David?
Justin Steele. Oh, yeah.
See, Spinks? Yeah. There you go.
I love that. That's honestly one of the things that kind of get me going.
Hey, could you guys call me Coach?
Coach Spinks.
Yeah. You want to ask where I am, maybe?
Where?
listen to this.
You're confusing the kid.
This is what I always say.
Say, where's Spinks?
Where's Spinks?
I'm right here.
I say it here, it comes out there.
All right.
They listened to the show.
That's awesome.
As soon as I got home, they wanted to know where Tanny was at.
We took
you know where they kill me with? The mango.
Yeah, then we took a family photo, and instead of cheese, everybody said mango.
Mango?
That was incredible.
But my other son was going to be moving into his own place, but he was recently let go from his job at PetSmart, so he is going to be living with us.
I wasn't fired from my job. I was laid off. You wouldn't know the difference. I didn't want salmon. I said it four times.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim. Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Bummed to have missed Dave Wanstead and family on Friday. Short show after the Hall of Fame game, but looking forward to talking Bears with a bunch of people out at the Wall in Gurnee tomorrow. Come see us from 2 to 6. We'll be hanging out after. You could watch the Hard Knocks premiere there tomorrow. Good food, good people. We're excited about it.
Absolutely. Should be a lot of fun. And our guy Jalen, man. He's an interesting dude, that is for sure. And this story is all over the national media as well as the local.
Well, I love it because some people, when he got paid, like a big thing was like Jalen was motivated by getting paid and proving people that he was elite. We talked to him about it every week. He talks to the local media about it all the time. And then the question was like, well, now that you got paid, what's your motivation going to be? And he was like, winning? You know, you wanted to win.
He also said, you remember he said, well, and I got to get the next contract too. Like he had that same look that you had on your face and the tone he had. So he said winning and also said the next contract. But this is an example of what?
Well,
him finding even more.
Well, right. Because the team thing is a great motivator, but a cornerback can only, it's a very individualized position. You can only control so much. So the contract as an individual motivator for a cornerback especially makes a lot of sense. And now this, in reaction to him being left off the NFL top 100 list, it's the exact kind of thing that A, will piss him off, and B, he will give an honest answer to. Here's Jalen Johnson.
There ain't no way. I don't know how you make Pro Bowl, All Pro, and
you're not a top 100 guy. That's, I mean, I could have been 101, I guess, but Aaron Rodgers didn't even play in the season. He was voted. So, I mean, hey, everybody made mistakes. It ain't just the media that do it. The players, clearly, if they voted for this, they made some mistakes. But it is what it is. I mean, any day I know the truth, and it's okay. I got some more for him.
Does stuff like that, though, like, drive you? Maybe not drive you, but does it just kind of feed you?
100%. It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful because I know I go out there and line up, and I know receivers go out there and can't say that I'm not one of the best people, like best player they played against. So I mean, just whatever it is, it happened. I mean, it doesn't doing it that wouldn't have just like moved me to where I feel like I'm complacent or anything. But just to see it, I mean, ain't no way 100 guys better. Ain't no way, and especially guys who didn't play, who were hurt, played half. I'm sorry, excuse my language. Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
So, I love it. He is 100% honest. It's how he feels. The NFL Top 100 list is complete garbage and irrelevant, but it's packaged really well. Mitchell Schwartz made that point, the former All-Pro for the Chiefs, the right tackle. We really shouldn't assign a lot of value to it. He talked about how the voting takes place around week 14 and week 15, and it is just a sheet of paper with the team logos around the side, and you're supposed to fill in names. So they don't give you the names that you've got to vote for. So some guys only vote for their friends. Some guys only put four or five names on there. Not everybody is thinking of every single player. And what's the criteria? It's supposed to be top 100 players in the league based on last season. Well, if it's based on just last season, then the MVP should be number one. Lamar wasn't number one. But if it's the best player in the league, we all know that's Pat Mahomes. But at week 13, 14, 15, he hasn't won the Super Bowl yet. So maybe, okay, he's having a down year statistically. You don't vote him there. But if it's supposed to be just last season and last season only, how is Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow top 100 players when Rodgers played four plays and Burrow missed as much? Burrow was the 39th ranked player in the league. So it's a horrible list, and we have players all the time say, media has no idea, media shouldn't control awards or Pro Bowls or contract incentives, or like, you never played the game, you don't know. Man, these guys play the game, and they mess up this ranking so much so. So like, Mahomes fourth is ridiculous. Rodgers being on the list at all is ridiculous. Jalen not being on it at all is ridiculous. But the proof is that it's just off-season content that the NFL Network does a really good job of producing. Like, it looks good. They interview all of the players. They make the little vignettes. They release it in overtime. It gets them clicks. It drives ratings and conversation. But the actual mechanism of compiling the list is complete trash.
In this world of engagement mining, especially on social media, the NFL is just finally trying to get people to start talking about it.
Right, because they don't get enough attention.
Like, they had to do something. They're like, hey, let's screw up this list, and then people are going to say stuff about us.
See, you know what I'm thinking this entire time? And I don't want to like throw it back in Danny's face as a gotcha, but like, where was Justin Fields on this list going into last year?
And you brought it up, right? Like 68 or something?
And you brought it up all the time because this list, we know what this list is. It's a reflection of what the players think. And we know it's flawed. I don't look at this as like Warren Sharp put it out or, Pro Football Focus or Bill Barnwell. It's like not an analyst. It's not based on stats or anything. It's just what players think when they're sitting around on their bye week watching games or watching the Rare Island games. That's all I ever think this is, and that does have value. I enjoyed knowing that Justin Fields was wherever he was.
Fields was 86 and Trevor Lawrence was 97, which is what I used that point because it spoke to how difficult he was to game plan against and the respect that he had of his peers. Mm-hmm. But I always would also say it was ridiculous to suggest that Justin Fields was better than Trevor Lawrence.
I do remember you saying that.
You know what I mean? But he had the respect of his peers as evidenced by they voted him ahead of him on this list. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, if you want to put that media top 10 list is complete crap, so is the players top 100 list.
Well, and Jalen said it too. Jalen said players make mistakes too. All right. So he's understanding of that. There's only five cornerbacks on the entire list, by the way. There's 20 wide receivers. There's 16 quarterbacks, 14 edge rushers, 10 safeties, 9 D linemen, 9 linebackers, 7 offensive tackles, 5 running backs, 5 cornerbacks, 3 tight ends, 2 offensive guards. There should be more cornerbacks. They are more important. They always end up getting paid a lot. Yeah, I can find them for you. Jalen Ramsey.
Sauce Gardner has to be on there.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey's number 25. Deron Bland at number 31. He made a lot of flash plays.
Yeah, he had all the pick sixes. Right. So Sauce Gardner's got to be on. Patrick Sertan's got to be on there.
He's number 38. Patrick Sertan the second is at number 52. And Tariq Woolen is at number 91. That is the fifth and final quarterback on this list. There should be more corners on this list, but even players themselves don't find the cornerbacks sexy enough or top of mind or whatever the hell is the parameter when you're filling it out. What did Mitchell Schwartz say? Week 14, week 15, a piece of paper that's blank? Yeah. Tell us your 5 favorite players. Good luck, everybody.
Well, he said that some guys only put in 5 names. Some guys only vote for their friends. Other guys take it seriously and try to do, you know, a full accounting of the rankings. But also,
yeah,
if you're getting it in week 14 and 15, but it's supposed to be for all of last year, I don't know. Call me old-fashioned, but I feel like playoff performance maybe should matter a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to base it on a year, if you're going to base it on 1 year, they should do it later. Why would they do it that early? Because that's when they know they can get to players something?
I don't know. It must be a sampling thing where they take time to compile and they want to do it, and some teams won't be available in the postseason, obviously. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's no – it's like a poll in politics season without any – controls on it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what the actual objective of this top 100 list is, other than just what Shane's talking about. It's just about content mining. It's
I
just
love
about
Jalen.
Driving content.
I love Jalen. I got something for him, or what did he say? I got more for him, or whatever he said there at the end. It's like, whatever you need, man. Whatever you need to drive you to play with that edge and play with that want. And he's apparently good at finding stuff like that, and this is right there for him. Did you hear Brad Biggs talking about Jalen's season this morning? Brad Biggs was talking about that list, and he described it, I think, pretty much the same way you did.
I didn't hear Biggs this morning.
Biggsy dismissed the list as being like, you know, whatever, it's players, and Pat Mahomes was 4 and the whole thing. But he did say this about Jalen, which I thought was cool.
I'm curious, Brad, you were there for the Jalen Johnson kind of meltdown. He's very upset that he's not in the top 100 list of players.
You guys are going to have to edit those comments.
Well, we played the beeps. We've already beeped out. I think there were 3 swear words.
There were 3 in about 20 seconds.
Thank you. Yeah. What
family programming here?
Yeah. Why do you believe he's so upset? And it is a slight.
Well, I mean, he was dominant last year. He had the best season that I've seen a Bears cornerback have in 23 years, oh. Right? I think
you watched Peanut's career.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean,
Brad, you're going to be presenting Jalen Johnson? Is that what you're telling
Wait
me?
Wait a second, Brad. Tap a single season? Here.
Yeah.
A single season.
How about that? Best season
awesome.
By a Bears cornerback.
Sorry that I missed that today. That's great.
In 23 years, above any single Peanut Tillman season. Now, Peanut would get picks. Peanut would force fumbles. But as a straight cover corner, he's saying that Jalen was better. And that's interesting to me because does Jalen play tighter in coverage than Peanut Tillman played in coverage? Because Jalen will be aggressive and he will often not be in position to get interceptions because he's too tight and he's not gambling, unlike some other corners in the league. That's heavy praise from the Bears dude, Brad Biggs, best season in 23 years of watching the Bears.
I remember that it happened, that he had a crazy outlier forced fumble season, but I didn't remember which one it was off the top of my head. I just pulled it up. 2012 Peanut Tillman. 3 interceptions, 3 defensive touchdowns, 10 forced fumbles. 10 forced fumbles in a season.
That's nuts.
That is completely insane.
That's before people knew to guard against the punch.
That is completely, but I mean, but that's 8 years into his career. So I don't know. He just, he had a particularly
efficient.
He was first team all pro that year. I'd be very interested.
I'd like to know quarterback rating against or that.
Yeah, right.
Kind of thing.
I don't, I just have the counting stats in front of me right now, but Jalen's coverage year last year against a year where he put the ball on the ground 10 times, recovered it twice, and picked it off three times. I mean, tough for me to not say that Peanuts year was better, given that takeaways are the real currency of defense. It's Brad, I'm watching that season as a fan, right? Like,
right.
Brad's covering that every day.
He's covering that every day. And Brad,
that 12 season's ridiculous.
It is. The numbers are ridiculous. The production is ridiculous. But I appreciate the idea of seeing the coverage every week and being like, look at that. Because I think that's what's amazing to me about Jalen's year, is that he did not shy away from his coverage style. He did not gamble more to try to make turnovers happen. He was just able to make some of them happen. And he missed a couple. He dropped two?
Yeah.
Three?
Yeah, a couple.
Even? And at least one of them was a pick six. Was it two pick sixes that he probably dropped last year? Still ended up getting paid.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, because he was, I mean, the coverage numbers were ridiculous. Yeah, teams weren't throwing at him, which is a very valuable thing. It helps you, you know, you cover the rest of the field with 10 guys. You trust him over on his side that they're not going to go that way.
Yeah.
It makes everything else easier.
Yeah. So I just thought that was a really cool bit of praise from Brad Biggs for Jalen.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Shad on the south side. What did we say that upset Shad today? Go ahead, Shad. You're on the Parkinson Spiegel show. What's up? Shad?
Go to the Friday, the way that Spiegs.
We lost you, Shad. You're not in a good cell, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Spiegs. You know, last week, I was ready to see you.
No, it's too bad. He's acknowledging me, too.
Yeah,
it's not,
yeah.
It's not his usual MO.
Yeah, he said your name.
He's congratulations. Usually to talk to you guys. Just leave it at that. Thanks, Shad. We missed you.
As a man who is the highest-ranking former center on this show.
Thank you very much.
Is this confirmation bias? Do you find it to be premature? Reports out of camp with the Nate Davis stuff, you know, the rotating at center. Concern on interior of Bears O-line is probably the biggest negativity that has come out of the first, 10 days of Bears camp at this point. And feels a little premature to me, given that we haven't seen the starting offensive line in pads.
Yeah, it does. It does to me, too. It feels like a jump for something to freak out about.
And I mean pads in a game. We've seen padded practices, obviously. I mean pads in a game.
It feels like a jump for something to freak out about, because we usually have many more things to be concerned with. You know? There's a very small and short list of things to be concerned with. What, you got Shane Waldron's play calling and how that's gonna look. You obviously have Caleb, but all that stuff is feeling very, very positive. You've got the other defensive end other than Montez Sweat, but Austin Booker getting some shine these days makes that feel, and the fact that Jervon Dexter looks good, right? It's like, there's a short list. Flus has not been anybody to worry about at this point.
I just look at it like, no team is perfect. And if we're saying that the biggest concern for the Bears is center and right guard, I'm old enough to remember when the best player on the Bears who sold the most jerseys was Kyle Long, our good buddy, who was a right guard, and me saying that's the worst position on a team to have be your best player. So the inverse of that would be, it's the best position on a team to have it be your worst player, if Nate Davis is in fact their worst player. Like, I don't want Caleb Williams to have a weak interior of the offensive line, but he's not going to have a perfect team.
Mm-hmm.
It's his rookie year. They still have cap space. They still have extra second round pick from Carolina. Like, if they go through this year and they're like, damn, we need to use the 22nd pick in the draft on a center or an interior offensive lineman, like, they can bring in a guy who gets cut from another team. They can address it in the offseason.
Yeah.
They're not going to have a perfect team this year. it's a pretty okay spot to have be your weakness.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about the center, but like I don't find myself too worried about the guard because Nate Davis will probably end up playing. He's a 100%er who doesn't like, you know, he finds ways not to be around. It's sometimes in this training camp, but I feel like he's going to end up being available, and maybe that's naive or just the fact that we're 34 days away and I don't feel like freaking out about it. It feels like opportunistic freak out now about the offensive line, and I'm a non-participant at this point.
I respect the eyes of the people who are at practice. You know, like Hogue was talking about how it's not looking good and he's worried about it. It's like I will defer to them being at all of these practices, and I will concede that it is likely to not be a strength of the team.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're gonna give me, hey, there's gonna be a weakness on the Bears. What do you want it to be? Center and right guard.
I mean,
there are worse weaknesses.
There's some names that are like we know Jatari Carter's name, Matt Pryor. We've had to get familiar with, and then Jerome Carvin is a backup guard, and then Bill Murray. I mean,
yeah, I know.
It stops
know.
You cold, doesn't it?
I love that.
Every single time.
Yeah, every single time.
Hey, Bill Murray, how's Bill Murray look? I'm surprised he can play. Surprised he's out there as much as he is.
Yeah, but it makes sense because in Space Jam, he said he doesn't play defense. So
there you go.
If he was going to play something, mm-hmm. it would definitely be on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah. But yeah, it does stop you cold every single time.
Every single time.
It's in the hole.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So it is deeply a concern. Texter did some research. Tillman's coverage grade in 2012 versus according to Pro Football Focus was a 91.2 coverage grade.
Yeah, so I mean I would be interested in if the follow up to Biggs would have been what about his 2012 season where he had 3 picks, 3 touchdowns, and 10 forced fumbles.
Yeah.
That is a completely... Like if Charles Tillman makes the Hall of Fame, that season will be one of the first things that is mentioned when Dan Pompey or whomever is arguing his case in front of the selection committee of, mm-hmm. have you ever seen an individual season by a cornerback like this? Because we've seen... crazy coverage years.
Yeah.
Darrell Revis years. We've seen the Deron Bland pick 6 years, but 10 forced fumbles by a corner, it's impossible.
In 12 seasons, with the rules and the quality of quarterbacking and the quality of wide receivers,
yeah,
are the best corners today better than the best corners of even 12 or 13 years ago? Or is it more impressive, I should say?
It's probably more impressive.
I think it's more impressive now to have an elite coverage year.
I agree.
Than it was even just 12 years ago.
Oh, I fully buy that Jalen's season last year is the best coverage year we've seen of a Bears secondary player. 10 forced fumbles is just such a ridiculous outlier of a number. It doesn't even compute. I mean, how many linebackers have had 10 forced fumbles in a season? How many edge rushers have had 10 forced fumbles in a single season? To do it as a corner is just so ridiculous. So I'd be interested in knowing how Biggs would compute those two things. You had an all-timer, right? It was you over the weekend?
Yeah, it was. I mean,
I'm excited.
Hit and run was spirited, but there was one guy. There was one guy, and he started. When his call started, I was like, oh, boy, here we go. And then by midway through, I just didn't want to say a thing. I just let him go, and he kept going, and it got better and better and better and better.
It's next on The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
A source told the Parkins and Spiegel Show on 670 The Score. I know those guys.
Afternoons on The Score.
What is it that I owe to fans? And I think one of the things that I owe to fans is to get better as fast as we can possibly get better. The speed is of the essence. If you bring in somebody from the outside, it's going to take him a year. He's going to have to evaluate everybody in the organization. I could bring Branch Rickey in if he was available, and he'd have to evaluate everybody. So you'll lose a year. And here I had somebody inside, and that's basically how I got to Chris.
I don't like our team.
Wow.
Branch Rickey would have been a hell of a hire, though, in fairness.
I forgot how many Dodgers from Brooklyn references there were. 1957 is when Young Jerry Reinsdorf, which was a terrible sitcom, by the way. Young Sheldon is far better. Young Jerry Reinsdorf in 1957 watched the Dodgers leave and has never been the same.
Because I got a baseball thought. You know what? If taking that thought process, right, how we love those Dodgers teams,
yeah,
they should break the bad player barrier and finally bring some good players onto the team.
Be revolutionary. Make a movie about it and everything.
Is there another league? Is there another league that has the good players?
The good players
break the good player barrier.
Oh, yeah.
We want the good players, yeah.
Well, he's not interested in the good players that are here. He laughs. He laughs in the face of the possibility of the best player of perhaps all time coming here. Not interested.
Well, in fairness, he never would come here.
No, well, yeah. Yeah, but he's not even going to offer him.
Yeah, not even going to try.
Oh, Amazing. I forgot that Branch he couldn't bring him in. Not available.
So the stat that they have more blown saves than wins is so ridiculous to compute. That's not more blown saves than saves. That's more blown saves than wins. 28 blown saves, 27 wins on the season. There's no way it's happened before in baseball history. I couldn't find an example, but I'm also not an excellent researcher.
Yeah, it goes to show you guys, right? A few games can break either way.
Yeah.
They're in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
But there's just no chance that's ever happened before. More blown saves than wins?
Yeah, it's very hard to imagine that ever happening before.
That basically just means, like, there's no 5-0 wins
I'm going to say that I've read at least three stat-filled, curious deep dives from national baseball pundits over the last 3 days, the latest of which is Jason Stark today in The Athletic. With everybody just kind of finding everything they can about just how historically bad this is, but that one's not in there. That one's not in there. So that's on you. You know, ask your buddy Passan if it's ever happened before.
It seems impossible, but
yeah, I mean, they're going to do it.
I don't know. I mean,
the most before the White Sox is the Phillies in 2021-34. Team blown saves. The White Sox have 27 currently.
But how many wins did the Phillies have that year?
Well, more than 34 because they didn't break the record that year.
But Shane, how many leads are they going to have in the seventh inning?
Well, if the games ended in the seventh inning, the White Sox this year would be 167,006. Right, we know that.
Okay, yeah, famously.
Yeah.
But so, okay, so 34 blown saves is the record for most of the season, but it's just more blown saves than wins is impossible. It is an impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear this. This, you said, is an all-timer.
It was an all-timer.
From hit and run.
Yeah, it felt special.
All right, let's
hear it. And I heard from so many people on the text lines and on my phone after this guy finished his call about the White Sox yesterday. Frank is in MacArthur Park and is now on 670 The Score. Frank, did anybody leave a cake out in the rain? How are you, sir?
No, I'm in Melrose Park, actually. But
I see.
Anyway,
yeah.
Listen. You know what? I've been a Sox fan since 1956. I don't have to belabor the fact this is the worst team I ever laid eyes on. But you know what? There's no defending Grafal either. They picked this guy who had about 9 managerial opportunities, not opportunities, but interviews. Nobody wanted them. We get a guy off the I never even heard of the guy, another Kansas City reject. The bottom line is this. Everybody could beat theirs. I feel sorry for Stoney and the announcers trying to make something happen. But here, I'll give you a good example. The other night, what got me pissed off about Griffel was this. Give the Sox fans something to cheer about, anything, a little piece of a cookie. That kid goes 7 strong innings to a 9-pitch seventh inning. He's got 90 pitches, Cannon. Why wouldn't you let this kid come out and finish that game? Why wouldn't you do it? Why does this guy have to do what he does everything? And you know, as far as Coach Shea goes, sit him the rest of the year. I don't want to see this guy go out and pitch three innings a game. I don't want to look at him again. Throw him to the book. But here's the bottom line to everything.
Yeah.
Until Jerry Reinsdorf, who's a scumbag in my eyes, I've been a season ticket holder since the 40s, my family, sells this team is going nowhere. Because that article by Morrissey the other day, which I don't agree with him all the time, with a bozo face on Reinsdorf, hit it right on the head. He don't care about the Sox fans. This guy bought two franchises 40 years ago, spent about $45 million total, now they're worth about $7 billion between them. What does he care about us? He's a cocky, no-good individual, and he's ruined two franchises. And I'm going to tell you something with his six championships.
Yeah.
If Houston and Portland didn't make a mistake in the 84 draft, they would have never won a world championship, the Bulls. So you know what?
What?
I am not giving them another dime of my money, ever, until this guy either drops dead or sells the team. I thank you for listening to me. I want to hear your reaction.
Thank you, Frank. Oh, my God. That was exquisite. That was, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to 670 The Score. My reaction is that Frank is why the Lord invented phone callers.
Really strong. It's a 9.8 out of 10. It's as good as it gets.
Right?
It's really good.
It's really good.
Do you believe him? You believe he's done giving him money?
I have no idea. See? Oh, the crowd. The crowd is giving him even more. It's amazing. The double standing ovation.
It's like a Cannes Film Festival.
It's a 20. They're not done. They're not done. I don't know, Danny, if he's done giving him money. The family's had season tickets since the 40s.
Since the 40s. It feels... I mean, maybe if the losing streak gets to 40?
I don't know, man. That's the fact that incredible. It started with his White Sox fan resume, you know?
It's Melrose Park.
Been a fan since 56. Yeah, that's the associate producer struggled to...
Oh, my God!
Oh, you're talking crap about your son again.
Oh, man.
He had a good day, though.
He let that call through. He had a great day.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Because normally I tell the associate producers, stay away from the very old. And that one paid off.
Oh,
I'm glad Ruben didn't listen.
But the accent, everything.
Fan credentials.
Oh, yeah. Fan credentials, accent, and then, just so much going on.
It's really good.
Oh, delightful.
It's really, really good.
Yeah. Even like, that was amazing.
Until he drops dead.
Yeah. Bravo, Frank. I think Big Frank got the Donna Summer reference. No, I don't think he did. I don't think he did get the MacArthur Park. He didn't want anything to do with it. I'm in Melrose Park. Screw you in MacArthur Park.
Hey, that's the thing. White Sox could be really bad, but they generally speaking do produce entertaining content. Like, their fans do entertaining things. The callers are entertaining. The post-game show is entertaining.
Yeah.
Shrift Dog making a fool of himself is entertaining. Like, there is a lot of clown behavior around the clown team.
That's why it's so much fun when they're good. It's, like, really fun because the characters are just awesome.
Excellent
around
it. Characters, very funny fans.
We all know some hilariously entertaining and acerbic White Sox fans. Like, everybody's Mark Potash, you know? It's like, or Chris Tannehill. I think of you all the time, Tanny, as a defeated, just in general in my life. But no.
A
defeated Sox fan. I mean, no, who loves baseball more than this man?
Several people. You do, for one. You are president. One day I will get there.
You're right there. And, like, Frank is you.
But there is something beautiful, though, about, like, the salty, crusty Sox fans, and I am one of them, so I can speak about them in such a manner. When they are good, these people, and they do a 180, and all of a sudden they're happy.
Oh, it's amazing.
And they're representing, and they're going to the ballpark. It's a beautiful thing to see these crusty people. They're just like, hey, how about that? You see that game last night? There's something awesome to it. And I was telling
Shane. I've been watching this team since 46.
I think life may not suck.
Hey, this
I'm not sure.
Reminds me of that 59 team, you know? They hustled, you know? And like, Shane and I were talking, though. Like, I don't watch them often these days. I did put them on yesterday while I was doing some work just to have something on in the background. 8-0 after two innings. It's just so tough. Like, then you start getting mad again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they try to come back a little bit, and that was fine. But, geez, you know, 20? It's baseball is hard and fluky and strange and dumb and weird, and still
20
in a row.
20 in a row? Row?
Yes, in a row.
I had it on in the background yesterday for a little while, too, and I had that same emotion, 8-0 after two innings. And my girlfriend says, you guys choose to consume this for your job?
Yeah.
It sucks. Why do we do it?
The companion sport, and we don't have a companion.
I'd rather be lonely.
Yeah.
I'd rather be lonely than have to choose them as my companion for anything.
Oh, God. One of those crusty old Sox fans texted me during the game, assuming that I was watching the game, and he was wrong yesterday. But he texted me during the game, he's like, what's wrong with Luis Robert?
What's wrong with Luis Robert?
No chance. Yeah. No chance. He's watching this White Sox game. Are you crazy?
He said, what's wrong with Luis Robert? And I had to give him my honest answer, which is that I think right now he probably just doesn't give a crap. You know? That Luis looks kind of checked out there. There's a lot of times where he looks checked out. Now, he moves very, very smoothly, and it looks like there's not a lot of effort sometimes, but at the plate, does he really care right now? And the Sox fans said, that kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I ran into Josh Nelson when he was here last week for his hit on the Midday Show, and I respect his opinion. Like, you know, long-suffering Sox fan and pours his, you know, everything into his content. And I asked him, I was like, I don't know if you and Jim Margulis are talking about this, but why do all the players get worse? And he's like, you know, that's a great question. No one knows.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's why the Pedro thing is like, it's so bad beyond the manager. But he has not made anybody better. I don't know anybody that he's made better. I don't know what his strength is as a manager. I don't have a single thing that we can point to. So, yeah, and there really doesn't make... The only thing that makes sense for why he's still here is because they're paying him. That's literally it.
Well, that actually led to a pretty incredible moment as well. We'll get into it. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the Score.
I've said it, and I'll say it over and over again. Whether we win or lose, we got to flush this game.
It's historically bad, and there is one person who cares more than basically anyone else, and seemingly live on the air, was forced to confront the realization that the worst statistical manager in White Sox history was actually, in the eyes of ownership, better than he was for the job. Here's Ozzie Guillen.
You told me today, if they not lose those 214 games in a row, this deal, if they on the 500.
Take out the not just that.
You can't.
You take out the 20 game losing streak and the 14 game losing streak. They still have the worst record in baseball.
Yeah. Wow.
The math is so bad. I thought it was they're 40 games under. No, they're 60 games under.
You look at it like the White Sox.
They lost 34 straight games. You combine two losing streaks.
That means Pedro is 100 games on the 500.
Yes.
And he got the job.
He's 100 games under.
Oh boy.
Yeah. That's tough. So
I gotta go to college tomorrow. I gotta go to a doctor. No, I do. I had to bring my because some few years ago I was happy, man. Now I'm bitter and queer.
You're bitter watching this team play.
No, just like because I don't think I was the bad manager when they picked Pedro in front of me. I gotta see a psychiatrist. Yeah. So I'm drinking a lot.
You are.
I have problems with my wife a lot. I scream into the only people who get along with me is my grandkids. Everybody out, I hate him. I don't know why.
Don't take it personally.
Maybe that's why. Yeah, I swear to God. I'm not playing around. A lot of people think, I know. I thought like, I was beating myself. Like, my God, I'm this bad? Then I went to manage in Venezuela. I come back and go, wow, man,
won a championship.
I'm not that bad. I see this go. It's like, holy cow. I should be embarrassed myself more than anything.
Oh my God, that is so real.
This guy is so bad, but how bad is he? Because they thought he was better than me.
I was happier 3 years ago. I'm drinking a lot. There's so much
fighting with his wife.
Fighting with my wife. The only people that like me are my grandkids. I went to Venezuela and I managed. I came back. I'm still pretty good at this. He won a title in Venezuela in winter ball.
Yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know, he's like came back. He's like, oh, I'm still pretty good at this. They still don't want me, huh? Oh God, That is
tough realization. You go for a job, you don't get it, and then you think that you're better than the person who got the job. That's a very familiar thing that a lot of people can relate to, and it is not fun.
And when it's an organization that relentlessly hires people they used to hate and used to fire, they relentlessly bring people back from who were in the fold and then are outside the fold, and they won't bring back Ozzie. He's like, you're bringing back Tony? You brought back Robin. Robin didn't even want to do the job, and you asked him to do it. Now there's a rumor you might bring back AJ. I'm right here, and I want the job.
You think
and
he looks at his team. Finger, and he's like, it does say World Series, right? Ugh. It does say World Series on this ring.
God.
It would have to be very confusing.
They totally screwed the pooch. Instead of Tony, if it was Ozzie, at least you would have gotten the one-year gasp and maybe a two-year gasp of, like, maybe he will try and reach them, you know? Maybe.
And again, I don't think Ozzie could save this team, and I understand
no, not
why,
this team,
and I understand why they wouldn't hire Ozzie. I do understand it, but I think that's separate from being like he doesn't understand why they wouldn't hire him. Oh. Like I understood it, but if you're Ozzie, you're like, yeah, wait a minute, they wouldn't hire me, and this is who they chose. Whatever my problems are, they chose this guy.
And the story of that cut is a former World Series manager turned television analyst giving you the realness of the job he wanted and how he's dealing with watching a terrible manager every night. That is...
Whew. And terrible team.
You know, sometimes you can't listen to the radio show that replaced you, you know? It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes.
Sure.
You know? Tell you what.
You got some experience there?
No. I did not. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. I get it.
I always thought you did a nice job, though.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Something like that came up a couple weeks ago, and you were like, I don't know what you're talking about.
What's
like,
that?
So it was something from the time with Mac, and then you just go, oh, yeah, I wasn't listening.
Yeah, I was not listening. Yeah. I was deeply, aggressively not listening. I'm sure you were doing a nice job.
Yeah, it was fine. His vocal cords stopped working.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. You're like
the slushy machine.
Yeah.
I've only heard stories about
like,
that.
What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I was watching Cold Case Files and playing online poker.
The Odyssey that sounds fun.
It was.
The Odyssey Rewind feature would be a good one to use today for our conversation with Pat Manley. He gave us a great behind the scenes experience of his weekend with Devin Hester. That was awesome. Come see us at the Wall in Gurnee tomorrow. They brought in awesome food today, and it was just a sliver of their menu. So the big screen, the theater experience, the elevated sports bar, the Golden Tee, the Hard Knocks premiere, us there from 2 to 6 doing a big meet and greet, bunch of awesome food. Please come out to the Wall in Gurnee tomorrow. Tanny's going to be there. I mean, forget Shane Spiegs and myself. Yes. Tanny will be there.
Huge draw.
Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sirs. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Wow, this has just been such a pleasure. I'm such a lucky boy. I can't wait to go home.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.